Has the Holy Spirit been here this weekend? The Lord has used Doris Goth and her team to do what he is doing. And I just came here to tell you this morning that the Lord has allowed this retreat to be here this weekend so that you could have strength to come off of this mountain to fight. Oh, I don't think you heard what I said. God said that some of you are about to leave here to deal with some tremendous battles, and he has allowed you to come here to have some strength so you can go home and fight. You see, no matter how good you might look and how much you're smiling and what kind of suit you have on, my job, my assignment this morning is to tell you to get ready that God has got it, to let you know God has got it. Oh, what is it? I'm glad you asked what it is. God has got it. Whatever situation it is that you're dealing with, God said he's got it. What is it? Well, what is it? It could be that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. That means more than you could even ask or think. I said, what else, God? He said, let them know this morning when they leave here that I've given them some promises to carry them through their situation. I said, what kind of promises, God? He said, I'm glad you asked. Promises such as Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters. That means that as you move through the water, God said he's going to be there. You're going to go through the water, but God said he'll be there with you. I said, what else? He said, when they go through the fire, they're not going to be burned. That means he's going to put you in the fire, but they're not going to burn you up. I said, well, what else, God? He said promises such as Isaiah 54, no weapon. I said, what? He said, no weapon. They're going to form it, but it will not prosper. I said, what else, God? He said, let them know Isaiah 49:25, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, but I will contend with him that contends with thee, and I'll bless your children. He said, some of you came this morning because you're concerned about your children, but he said to let you know that he will save your children. I said, glory to God. He said, what else? I said, what else, Jesus? He said, promises such as 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are to pulling down of strongholds. He said, whatever it is that the devil has for you, he said, I can fix it. I said, all right, well, God, he said, let them know this morning that there's some miracles that they need to thank me for before they leave here. I said, what kind of miracles? He said, I'm glad you asked. I woke you up this morning. You know, we take for granted that God got us up this morning. But God, if God does not exhale, you will not inhale. God did what he did to get you up so you can praise his name. I said, what else? He said he paid your mortgage and your rent last month. That you're not homeless this month. I said, what else, God? He said he kept you on the job when that wretched boss tried to fire you. I said, what else, God? He said I bought healing when they said you couldn't have any healing. I said, what else? He said, I kept your family together in the midst of it all. I said, what else, God? He said, I kept some of them from that no good rascal that they know they had no business with. He said, he kept your kids from doing stupid stuff. Y'all got to get this mic moving because I got to move this morning. If I didn't come down your street this morning, let me tell you something. God said, we've got to learn to use his word to go against the enemy. I said, what else? He said, let them know that this morning my assignment is to let you know that in your destiny that God has given you, you're going to get some fights. The enemy is not going to allow you to fulfill your calling unless you fight. You've got to know this morning that when you leave this retreat, it's time to fight. Give me some volume on this thing. I want you to know this morning that, listen, I will not allow the enemy to come in my camp, okay, and keep me from the blessings. You need to understand that you need to decree and declare this morning that when you leave here, that anything the devil has taken from you, take it back. Take it back. Learn to walk in the anointing that God has given you when you leave this retreat. This is not about coming here and eating some food and smiling and going to the spa. This is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you leave here and you leave here the same way you came in, then you didn't come to the right retreat. I said, what else, God? He said, sometimes help them to understand that as Christians, we want everything on a silver platter. We don't want to go through anything to get what God has for him. But I came to challenge you this morning and make the declaration that you are not to go down without a fight. I mean, knock down, drag out, kick your shoes off, take your earrings on, put the Vaseline on your face, man up, fight. You got to fight. If you want what God has for you, you've got to fight. In the name of Jesus Christ, go into the enemy's camp and take it back. This morning, the Lord told me to focus briefly because I know y'all want to go eat. We're going to eat on time. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6. And this morning, the Lord told me briefly to talk to you about just the thing that happened to Elijah.
2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. Holy Spirit, come into this place this morning. We bind up every demonic spirit that would come against this message, against the hearing of your children. We plead the blood of Jesus and ask God that your presence will continue in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. He said, don't travel that way. And the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved him there not once or twice, many times. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah. Oh, that's a prophet there. The prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host camp compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, here it is, for they that be with us are more than they that be with him. Oh, I just came to tell you this morning, point number one, the prophet Elijah had been faithfully sold out to God. He had been on a mission to tell the king of Israel when the wicked king of Syria had plans against him. But this morning, you need to understand, the first point is when you sold out to God, people are going to come after you. You need to anticipate a fight. Why are you shocked? Because nobody likes you. Anticipate that something is going to happen. You need to act like when you sold out to God, the closer you get to your destiny, the more you're going to have to fight. You need to anticipate a battle. You need to know that the devil is coming after you. The more you relate to God, the more the devil is coming after you. Higher level, higher devil. You need to understand, don't go around crying and trying to figure out why the enemy don't like me and why am I under persecution. You need to understand, he's coming for you. You need to tell the devil when he gets there, oh, I thought you'd be here by now, but now that you're here, let's get it on. Let's get it on. You need to man up. Stop crying and asking God, why me and why this? He said, all who live godly in Christ Jesus should suffer persecution. If you're a Christian and you're not suffering persecution, check yourself. Check yourself. Elijah was under attack. They came from all sides and all places. They came with huge numbers. Kings came all the way around him. They came as the strength of the seashore. They had horses and chariots. The odds were against him. But here's what I discovered in my walk with Jesus. I like being the underdog, because when you're the underdog, you might start out underneath. But with God before you, who can be against you? When you're the underdog, that means that you're outnumbered. That means that everybody sees that you're outnumbered. But God will stand up and fight and win the battle for you. God showed Elijah what the king of Syria had planned continuously for the king of Israel. And Elijah went back and told the king of Israel, he said, don't go here. Don't go to this place. Don't go to the valley. The enemy's going to be there. Don't go to the mountain. The enemy's going to be there. The word of God says that it happened so frequently and so continuously that the king of Syria got up and said, who's on the side of the king of Israel? Because somebody is about to go down. And the king of Syria's servant said, it's not us. But there's a prophet in Israel, Elijah, who's telling the king of Israel everything you say, even in your bedroom. Give me a minute, because I'm going to go somewhere with that. Point two, God's always going to have somebody in the camp that's got your back. When God is for you, who can be against you? It doesn't matter what the enemy has planned for you. It doesn't matter if the enemy is in the valley. It doesn't matter if they're on the mountaintop. If you focus on God and you hear his word, he'll tell you when the enemy's coming after you. He'll tell you what direction they're going. He'll tell you how to move. God will tell you exactly what you need to do. The Bible says in verse 13 that the wicked king asked his people to tell him where Elijah is, and they state he's in Dothan. So in verse 14, he states that he sends horses and chariots and a great host. And the Bible says they came by night, and they compassed the city round about. They all gathered together. They all gathered together against Elijah. It's Elijah, his servant, and this great host against him. Now we're trying to figure out, why would all these people gather against Elijah? It's just Elijah and his servant. But the king sends out horses and chariots and all these people around about to get one man and his servant. Let me ask you this question. Why are all the people on your job against you? Why are all the people in one group, in one community, in one area, all your friends, why would all of these people come against one little person? Because they understand that the anointing on your life is so strong that it's going to take a mighty group to come up against you. Oh, I don't think you understood what I said. You might be trying to figure out why would all of this come up against me? Because they understand that when this stuff happens, that the enemy sees what God sees. He sees that you can create great damage to the enemy's kingdom. So he sends forces against you. One little old you at work, one little old you at home, one little old you at church. He sent because he understands the anointing and call of God on your life. He knows that you'll be a kingdom builder and a hater against his kingdom. And so all of this happens. For all of this attack to be on your life when you leave here, that means that God knows that you're dynamic. That means that God knows that you're anointing. That's why the enemy works so hard to bring you down. Let me tell you something this morning. The numbers might be against you statistically to get your promotion. It might be against you statistically to have your body healed. It might be against you statistically to have your children saved. It might be against you statistically for your husband to come back home. It might be against you statistically to save your house. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Let me tell you something. God has declared and decreed a destiny that he has assigned to your name. You've gone through too much. You've had too much trauma. You've prayed too long. You think you're going to quit now? Oh, no, you can't touch this. God's anointed, you cannot touch. The Bible says that as you go through the situation, it says in verse 15, chapter 6, that Elijah's servant rose up early in the morning. You got to get up early in the morning and lay prostrate before God. And he got up early in the morning, and it says a host came about them with horses and chariots. And his servant says, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" You see, his servant was worried because the odds were against them. The situation was stacked. Elijah, his servant, hundreds of horses and chariots. Some of you this morning are going home to some stacked situations. Doesn't look like there's any way you can win, but you better do what Elijah did. He did two things. Number one, he prayed. He prayed. Number two, he had a relationship with God. So when his troubles seemed insurmountable, he knew that God's word said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty." He knew Psalm 121. You got to get this word in your soul. He knew that God would hear and answer his prayers. He knew that God, who made heaven and earth, would not suffer his foot to be moved. You've got to learn his word this morning. And so he says in verse 16, "Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with him." Elijah said, "You can't touch this." They that be with us are more than they that be with them. When you get in trouble, remember this story. Ask God to open your eyes. He says in the next verse, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." He said, "God, open my servant's eyes so that he can see." And when the servant saw all on the mountain, there were just mountains and chariots. He said, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them." This morning, when you leave this retreat, understand and know, they that be with you are more than they that be with them. Need to walk in your anointing and your calling. You need to understand that God's going to show you around you, surrounding you, are mountains, the same mountains that you have that you can't get over, the same valleys you can't get under. God will show you angels which excel in strength. Holy Spirit will show you the fire that was around about them was a fire of the Holy Spirit. And so he says this, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own son, but delivereth him up for us all, how shall he with him not freely give us all things? All things, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ our Lord." In other words, no matter what happens, you can't touch this. You got to learn to understand, walk in your anointing. They can't touch you because God says you're anointed. You're called. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're bought with the price. God has sanctified you. He's made you holy. And let me tell you something else. When you leave here, it doesn't matter what you did before. That when God has cleansed you from your sins, they can talk about what you used to do, but they can't talk about what you're doing now. They can't talk about the fact that you're not in adultery anymore. You're not gay anymore. Your kids are not in jail anymore. It doesn't make any difference. You're not addicted to drugs anymore. They may talk about what you used to do, but they can't talk about what you're doing. And when they talk about you, say, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are passed away." Let me tell you something else. When you leave this retreat this weekend, you're going to come down from this place and they're going to see a difference in you because of what you've heard. And it's going to provoke in their hearts that they're going to start to not like you because you came from the retreat. I've come to grip in the course of this journey that nobody's going to fight against somebody that has no value. So if they're fighting against you, that means that you've got value. Oh, you need to understand that when you come off of this retreat, people who never got together before going to now get together just so they can talk about you. You need to understand that like spirits don't like spirits. So two people who don't like you, who didn't like each other, now don't like you. So they get together and they're going to fight against you. So I came to tell you two ways to fight against these attacks. Number one, accelerate your faith. Verse 17 says, Elijah said, Lord, open their eyes so that they can see. Ask God to open your eyes with every plot and scheme that the enemy has before you. Let me tell you something. The Lord is never going to let the devil speak without him having a response. Whatever the devil says about you, God is going to have a response. When the enemy comes against you, all you need is a word from God. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Don't be scared. You know, tomorrow about this time, he said early in the morning, some of you are going to have a breakthrough tomorrow. The next morning, the Bible says in verse 15, you need to understand that when you rise early in the morning, the Bible says about tomorrow, about this time, what time is it? Check your watch because God's about to move. I can't wait till tomorrow though, for God to fix my circumstances. Tomorrow about this time, it says, I don't care where you are and what's going on. When God starts to break through tomorrow, lift your skirt up, walk down in the closet at work and say, God before me, who can be against me? You can't touch this. I said, what else, God? He said, let them know that as they fight against the enemy with the power, God says that you need to understand that if you're not going down without a fight, you got to praise your way through the battle. Oh, I said, how you do that, Jesus? He says, Psalm 146:1. He says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Your praise should not be contingent on your circumstances. God is God, regardless of whether you live or whether you die, he's still God. He's still God. And if you're only praising God because he's doing something good for you, then you don't know who God is. I said, what else, God? He said, teach him that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He says that no matter what happens, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I said, what else? He said, let them know don't trust men. Not man as in one you live with, but men as in anybody. He says, trust me only. I will fix it for you. You need to understand that whatever happens to you happens by authorization of God. Does that mean that he has caused it? But it means that he says, get yourself together. Whatever happens to you, it's got to pass through him first. He's got to get permission for it to occur. And if he gets permission, he will give you strength to walk through it. I said, what else? He said, just because I'm invisible, tell him just because I'm invisible and I'm inaudible, it doesn't mean that I don't hear. He says, I give freedom to the prisoners. I watch over the strangers. I relieve the fatherless and the widows, but the wicked, I turn upside down. I said, what else? He said, I'm going to reign forever and ever. I said, what else? He says, let them make up their mind that regardless of what happens in their situation, that they need to understand that I'm God and I'm who I say I am, and I will fix it for them in my time. I said, what else? He said, in the praise, understand this. I'm an educator. And so when you have graduation, you have three types of honors. You have cum laude, you have magna cum laude, and you have summa cum laude, summa being the sum of. He said, some people praise me cum laude. They don't really know who I am. Some other people praise me magna cum laude. But let them learn this morning. They need to praise me summa cum laude because I'm the sum of everything that happens. I said, what else, God? He said, this last thing. Let them know that they need to understand the power they have, the anointing they have in them, and that if they walk with me, the enemy cannot touch them. I said, why? He said, because I'm the greatest champion of the world. I said, God, I thought it was Muhammad Ali. He said, Muhammad Ali ain't got nothing on me. I said, well, what you got, Jesus? He said, you need to understand who I am. I said, what else? He said, tell them about me when I come into the ring. I said, what? He said, I'm coming into the ring riding on a white horse. I said, what else? He said, I'm weighing in as the one who has carried the sins of the world. I said, what else? He said, I got as tall as the height of heaven. I said, what else? He said, I got a right hook that reaches from here to eternity. I said, what else, Jesus? He said, my past record includes fights with Lucifer, also known as Beelzebub, that devil called Satan. He said, he fought with some of your husbands before you came here. He knocked out some of your bosses when you left work. And he said, he's fighting with your landlord right now. I said, what else, Jesus? He said, on one glove, it's called faithful. He said, on the other glove, it's called truth. He said, my eyes are like a flame of fire. He said, on my head are many diadems. He said, on my trunks are inscribed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, I'm the undefeated, undefeated champion of the world. I said, what else, Lord? He said, well, let them know that as I fight their battles, it's not going to be about their job. It's not about their spouse. It's not about their kids. It's not about their finances. It's not about their money. It's about a relationship with me. I'm allowing them to go through this thing because I want them to have a relationship with me. I said, what else, God? He says, no matter what the devil throws in your way, praise him through it. I said, why? He said, because I'm an awesome God. I'm a mighty God. I'm a mighty, mighty good God. I'm an out of control God. I'm a can't do anything but fail God. I'm a rock God. I'm a deliverer God. I'm a strong tower God. I'm a wheel in the wheel God. He says that regardless of what happens, stop worrying about your enemies and focus on him. I said, thank you, God. I said, give me some more promises. He said, I'll give you a few more before you close. He said, Job 4:8, I have observed those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. They're going to get it back. I said, what else, Jesus? He said, you will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as water that goes by. He said, do you remember water that went by? I said, no. He said, you're not going to remember your trouble either. I said, thank you, God. I said, what else, God? He said, Psalm 71:20, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up. I said, what else? He said, just tell him to hide in me. I'll protect him from all trouble. I said, what else? He said, Psalm 144, blessed be my hands. The Lord gives me strength to fight and my fingers to fight. He said, regardless of what's going on in your situation, you need to learn to fight. And so this morning as I end, the Holy Spirit told me to have prayer. Sister Dudley, can you pray for us? To have prayer, because you're going to go to some situations that you don't even know what you're going to. And when you leave here, you need to be prayed up, anointed up, forgiven up, and focused up on God. And so this morning as I pray, I'm going to ask you to come with whatever it is. We're going to join hands and we're going to pray for God's anointing power to cover you as you leave this place. So that God can move and allow his spirit to be in this place. Allow his spirit to be in you and in your situations at home. God said that whatever it is, he's got it. God said that whatever it is, he will fix it. He says that whatever you're leaving here with, you don't have to take it back with you because he is a God who hears and answers prayers. And so this morning as we leave here, the Lord is going to do something. Whatever it is, you're going to leave it here and you're going to leave here rejoicing that Jesus has got it and that he will fix it in the name of his name. Everybody join a hand. Everybody touch somebody this morning. Can you touch me? Let's pray this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the name above every name, God, your name, we praise you this morning, Father God. God, we just anoint, we just hold you up, God. We lift you up. We magnify your name. There is no God greater than you, God. You are the God above, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Father. And so, God, we bless your name this morning. Father, we just magnify you and we just lift you up and we just adore you, Father God. Lord, we thank you for this retreat. Lord, you brought us up here to this place to just allow us to get closer to you. Don't let us leave here without that, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for every speaker, every musician. We thank you for the ministry of Doris Gotham. We thank you for the team, God. We thank you for everything that has happened, every seminar, every presenter. But Lord, now it's about our relationship with you. This is about a vertical, Father God. We've had our horizontal with each other. But now, God, it's time to make sure that we leave here with our vertical relationship in place. And so, Father God, the first thing we do is ask you to forgive us of all of our sins. Every known and unknown sin, God, we don't want to leave here with it today. So, Holy Spirit, we ask in the name of Jesus, wash us in your blood, oh God. Wash us in your blood, oh God. Forgive us of our sins, oh God. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Father. Lord, we confess our sins before you. And we ask that we would not leave here the same person we came in as. Now, God, now that you've forgiven us of our sins, we can stand before your throne boldly. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on your children. Lord, we got some situations here that only you know about. We might be smiling, God, but sometimes, Lord, there are things that are going on at our homes, at our jobs, at our churches, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, fix it. Lord, we got some children who are wayward. We ask in the name of Jesus, fix them, God. Whatever it is, Jesus, fix it. Lord, we got some job situations that are just wretched. We got some horrible bosses, God. We ask in the name of Jesus that tomorrow when we walk into that workplace, that you will take care of it, God. Either straighten them up or lay them down, but Lord, fix it. God, we got some financial situations. Some people don't know how they're going to pay their rent and mortgage next month. Don't know where their food's coming from. Lost their job. Lord, let them be faithful in their tithe and offering. And then, God, move in a miraculous way. Lord, you said the cattle on 1,000 hills is yours. You said you've numbered the hair on our heads. Surely you care about our situations. Oh, God, some of us have some husbands at home. Lord, you know those situations. Some of us need a husband, oh, God. Whatever it is, Jesus, fix it. We ask in the name of you, Jesus. Father, some of us have some healing that needs to be done. You are the great physician. Touch our bodies, oh God. Touch the bodies of our family members and friends, Lord, our loved ones. God, do what it is you do. Father, some of us have some situations in our neighborhoods and at our churches, God. And Lord, you know what those are. We ask you in the name of Jesus that you will handle it. Lord, as we leave this retreat, there are some unspoken prayer requests, and we whisper those to you right now, Father God. We whisper those to you right now because, Lord, you know what it is. But, Lord, we know that you are a God who hears and answers prayer. And so, God, we're going to praise you through our situation. And tomorrow, about this time, we'll start to see a breakthrough. God, we praise you for what you're going to do already. God, we magnify your name for what you're going to do already. God, we stand in expectation of your word. That it will not return void. You cannot lie, God. And so we stand on your word. God, we praise you right now. We magnify your name. And we leave here with praise and exaltation on our lips, knowing that you have got it. You're going to fix it. It's done in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. We just thank you right now, God. Everybody thank the Lord for what he's doing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, God, thank you. We trust you, God. We obey you. We serve you. And we count it done. In the matchless, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Oh, hug somebody and praise God, for he is good. His mercy endure forever and ever. Praise him back to your seats. Praise him back to your seats.